Well, right at 11 o'clock, as each and every Tuesday on time, we have joining us Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management with our weekly update. And back from Greece is Stamatis Sastras. Gentlemen, good morning. Και καλημέρα.
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 How is everybody? Money. I mean, 11-day Dow rally. So that's what everybody is excited. And it's more today, it's just up 15 points right now, but it's green and everybody likes, you know, things to go up.
Yeah, it's been on quite the run. I think it's caught a lot of people offside. So, I mean, you know, the NDX, the NASDAQ, you're up almost 40% year to date. It's been quite impressive, especially when you consider the fact that coming into 2023 and at the end of 2022, tech was the most hated sector in the market. You know, in fact, most portfolio managers didn't even want to have it on their 13F filings. And, you know, it's surprising how sentiment can really impact asset prices. So when people were bearish, things went the other direction. And now that everyone's getting bullish, we have a hesitancy to think, to believe that this will continue in perpetuity.
A couple of industry reports, company reports, I would like to give your listening audience, your perspective. Two very different companies, one at General Motors and the other is Spotify. I'm sure you know, so let's start with General Motors first. What do you see here?
It can't get off its rear end. I think General Motors is stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's pretty wild to see how EV adoption has been spread out across the globe and that these companies are struggling. In fact, General Motors is getting ready to cut production of its highest selling EV vehicle, the Volt. So, you know, they're working on different partnerships with Tesla, but for my intents and purposes, I would not be invested there. I think it's a blue chip name that continues to slide, and that they generally have to, no pun intended, generally have to look at their core business and decide which direction that they're going to head in, especially when you consider the fact that by 2035, you have legislation pending that states like New Jersey and California will not allow the sale of internal combustion engines.
What year is that, Benny? What year are they predicting?
2035.
Wow. It's 11 years away.
Yeah. You know, but then you have the likes of, you know, Tesla, who, you know, with a big announcement, you know, earlier this week that they are going to start producing, I believe it's a $25,000 or $22,000 vehicle, electric vehicle, completely made in India.
Really? Interesting.
The other company is a new company. We didn't have those types of companies 10, 15 years ago, Spotify. It's the tale that you've been saying about the technology. And here is a specific company that says, okay, you guys, the market's going up, but we're losing money.
Right. And it's the same thing across, you know, other plays. For example, look at Netflix. Netflix last week, you know, puts out a decent earnings report where they talk about how they had 6 million subscribers in growth, yet they're not figuring out how to make it profitable. Airbnb is in the same situation where they're losing 50% of profits at this point in time. So it's great when interest rates are at zero and you can price growth in perpetuity through it, through infinity, and say that because my cost of capital is zero, I can grow my way into market share. It all changes when you have interest rates at a level that we're currently at. It makes things unprofitable. I mean, even look at Biogen. Biogen had a great, great quarter. They have a drug coming to market that should surpass expectations, and they're shedding 10% of their growth, of their workforce. It was announced in yesterday's earnings report. They're cutting 1,000 people, and they only employ 9. So it's actually a pretty significant, you know, cut. So it's not just your tech companies. You have the cost of capital affecting the profit margins of corporations that have overhired and have, you know, hoarded labor that are now looking to cut costs off of their balance sheet.
And that gives me the, you know, the next topic, which is the big picture here. A lot of excitement that we beat inflation, but the Fed says, not so fast, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Look, this is going to be a big week for the market, and will probably set the tone for the rest of the year, as you have three major central banks meeting. You have the Fed tomorrow, and you have the BOJ and the ECB on Thursday, and you have 150 companies reporting earnings this week, including, you know, your big mega cap tech plays. So after the bell today, you're going to get Microsoft and Google, and later this week, you're going to get Amazon and Meta. So we'll get a clearer picture of kind of where the macro environment stands. And it'll be interesting to see. I guarantee you two things. You're going to continue to hear AI rhetoric from all these tech companies, because every time they mention it, their stock price goes up. And then the other issue you're going to see is, you know, what signs do we start to see as it relates to potential ticks in the unemployment rate? How many companies are looking to start shedding labor? Because I do think that it's going to start to pick up some steam.
Yeah. And of course, I have to ask you about Elon Musk. This guy has been around, 25 years? He's around PayPal, maybe 13 years now. But every time he makes those bold moves, long term, he's the richest man in the world. So long term, he has done okay. But a lot of people, they're like, what? Change the name of Twitter, change the logo, call it X. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think we're getting a glimpse into what his original plan for Twitter really was, which was not just to take the platform over and shake out all the fake accounts and the bots and see if he could make it profitable. I think he had deeper endeavors, which is to come to market with the first app that could be the center for entertainment, financials, news, and entertainment. So I do think that he is on the right path. Be interesting. I mean, if it was still a public company right now, how many people would be jumping in as fast as they could? I think quite a bit. But it's, again, it relates to what we just mentioned earlier in the call, is it all comes back to sentiment. When he was Time Person of the Year on the Times, and the Economist had him on the front cover, that started the decline of Elon Musk's, persona in the public eye. And then when it got all the way down and the stock was at a generational low, we essentially got on the same call and said that, by trying to sell that stock at this point, you're betting on Elon Musk becoming, not a focal point in macroeconomics in the future, which we said was not going to be the case, and that it was probably a generational low with the stock and it was worth buying. I think at this point you're kind of in no man's land, but it feels like 2008, 2009, where essentially you're saying, do I bet against a Steve Jobs? Do I try to short a Steve Jobs? And I do think that is the type of figure that Elon has become. Whether you love him or hate him, he has significant power over markets and the economy.
And you look at the industries, it has companies, big companies. You look at, obviously, you got Tesla, you got the space company, you have a new
Neuralink
AI company, you got Neuralink, you got the Boring company, the one that makes the panels. So he's interesting.
Yeah. For lack of a better term, he's a polarizing figure. Again, whether you love him or hate him, can't ignore him.
Yep.
Well, how often have you mentioned that Elon Musk, is he a player or not? We'll see.
Certainly a player. Would I buy the valuation of Tesla at this point in time? No, probably not. Would I be interested in a company like an X to see how that unfolds? Absolutely.
Yeah. We should create a Elon Musk stock. So it would be
They do. It's called ARK. You can just invest in ARK. That's all she buys.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think there's someone who does this. Like, you can buy athletes and things like that, or the people. You can buy
yep. So it's going to be an interesting week. Here's the one thing that I think is going to catch a lot of people by surprise. I don't think the Fed's going to be done cutting rates, and I think that's going to be news for people in a couple months as they come back from summer vacation. You're going to hike 25 basis points tomorrow, that is certain. And then, you leave the door open for September. But if you're the Federal Reserve and you're Jerome Powell and you're sitting here saying, how do I tamper down inflation and how do I remove froth from the economy? And you look at the stock market, which we know they pay heavy attention to. and you see the stock market at prices where they're at now, and you have people forecasting that you could be at 4,700 by the end of the year, you got to be pulling your hair out and saying, clearly what I'm doing isn't working, which makes you think that he's probably going to drop the hammer and that tomorrow's press conference could catch a lot of people offside. Because the other thing that we're looking at is, we talked about it last week, that the rate of inflation is probably going to continue higher through the rest of the year just due to the annual comp. So when we said that it flattened out last year from June to December, well, now it's kind of accelerating. So you're not going to have that 9.4 drop from last June to where you are today around 3. In fact, at the end of the year, you're probably going to have an inflation rate again closer to 4%. And what did we say last week about oil? That oil was probably getting ready to pop like with the rest of the commodities. Well, oil in just 1 week from $76 a barrel to $78 and change today. And now you have wheat up 11% in the last couple of weeks, as well as other CRB index products that are kind of starting to rise up in prices. You have Massachusetts houses that have now single family that is above $600,000 to the highest point ever. And rents here continue to accelerate. So I don't think that the battle for inflation is over, as much as that, you know, Wall Street rang the bell a few weeks ago, and that we probably could end up with another 1 to 2 rate hikes additional to what's already being priced into the bond market. And I think that would catch a lot of people offside. As everyone expects a recession this year, you get the NASDAQ to go up 40%, pulls people in at the wrong possible time, and then recession actually hits you in 2024.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. What can I say?
It's certainly murky waters. This is not an easy market to navigate.
Yeah, and that's all we keep hearing about. You know, no matter what, you know, television network you hear, you know, all of them are. I think they got a big question mark going on. What's going on? You know, people are starting to be a little bit more careful, and you know, concerned. As they should be.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily agree. I think that was probably the case back a few months ago when you had, you know, the bank failures. But here we are a few months removed, you know, pretty close to the indices all-time highs in the stock market. People are away on vacation. I don't think a lot of people are paying attention. In fact, I think most people, are kind of unplugged. I don't really see too much concern out there. In fact, I see that FOMO, fear of missing out, and greed has, you know, reared its ugly head back into the market.
Very interesting perspective. Stamati, Manny, any closing thoughts?
It's all about the Fed. It's, you know, and earnings. So let's see. I mean, I think earnings have already been priced in for this quarter. It's really about what's the guidance that these companies put forward for the rest of the year and, you know, looking at 2024. And I'm sure we're going to hear some fireworks coming out of central banks around the world over the coming months, and in particular, maybe from Jerome Powell tomorrow as he's, you know, watching these stock prices continue to go up with inflation still being a persistent problem.
Very good. Very good. Manny, best news of the week? What do we got? The increase?
Best news of the week. Best news of the week. I don't know. I guess the Sox are doing a little bit better. They're close to a playoff spot, even though the Orioles and the Rays are just continuing to hammer everybody else. I think so far, I think the best news is that the economy's hanging in there.
Yeah.
For most people surprised as they expected, you know, a pretty dire 2023, the market and the economy is held in there. So that's got to be good news if you are an investor or a consumer. You haven't seen job losses really increase. So things are better, and they're certainly better here than they are in the rest of the world.
That's for sure. And I witnessed that firsthand. No matter what, we had a great time in Greece, Manny. Got a chance to see you for a couple of days. But still, God bless America, no matter how you slice it. That's how I saw it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Manny Frangidakis joins us each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock with a weekly market update right here. And, of course, a conversation with Manny is always available, 617-212-8343. He and his partners at 12 Point Wealth Management do the very best to make sure that you keep what you have secure. 617-212-8343. 12 Points Wealth Management. Manny Stamati, have yourselves a terrific day, and we'll regroup next Tuesday. Nastikala.
Nastikala. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we'll continue with more music on this Tuesday morning here on Grecian Echoes.